Let's thank the Lord. Boy, Heavenly Father, what a joy it's been to just walk with Jesus and to learn from Him. We just ask You to bless our time, even this day, as we can continue our walk. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, notice today we're going to be dealing with Pilate guards the tomb. All right? But notice this, our first part, and by the way, you got two of them here if you're going to look at it. The first part is Pilate guards the tomb. That's only found in Matthew. So we'll be able to zoom right down through that one pretty quick. Matthew 26, verses 62 through 66. We're in the seventh day. We're on the Sabbath. Pilate sends a guard over to Jesus' tomb, all right? And I mentioned this. Matthew includes this portion to explain what we're going to later read in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. So that's why he includes this, to help explain some later verses. All right, hey, when did this event occur? Well, Matthew says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation. Now, who came to Pilate? We read the chief priests and the Pharisees. They came together unto Pilate. Why did they ask, and what did they ask Pilate to do? Saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Now, that's the why. What's the what? Verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Now, watch what I mentioned here. I said the unbelievers remembered what the believers didn't, that Jesus said he would rise again the third day. Now, how did Pilate respond to their request? Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. What did they do? So they went, they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now I said sealing the stone, what's that involved? It was probably done by connecting the stone to the tomb with a cord and with wax so it could be easily detected if it had been broken into. But to make it even more secure, Pilate set a watch of guards over it. Now, what do we learn from these verses? Anything about our triune God? Jesus, we find that he is what? What are these references here? The Christ died, was buried. What does that emphasize concerning Jesus Christ? He was fulfilled prophecy, the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was flesh. In that, he died. And, of course, the aspect of the Godhood would be being resurrected from the grave. Do you learn anything about mankind in these verses? Yeah, they remembered his words. And, it's kind of interesting about mankind. What they think and plot to do, they think that you're going to do it, don't they? So they're going to make, oh, man, this is what I would do. So now they're going to make sure, even though he'd mentioned he's going to be raised the third day, well, if we were in that situation, here's what we would do. So mankind, they plot and plan from their own intents of their own heart. Now, anything that, as you read these, any way that these verses might change your behavior? Right? One of the things that we see here is that his own believers, they didn't believe his words, did they? Because he told them. He'd been telling them, and it getting stronger and stronger in his announcements, that he's going to be raised from the grave. And yet, we see they didn't believe. So one of the things that we can learn, and the application we can make, is that, you know what? Whatever Jesus says, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. Obviously, his own disciples, his own apostles, did not believe his words. And
aren't they still reacting to when he died on the cross? Didn't the temple curtain tear?
Yep.
And all that. So they still have that fresh in their mind.
Yes.
3 days ago. So they're like, you know, oops, maybe we made a mistake. And we better go ahead and put guards in front. Because if we don't, they're going to steal his body. And they're still in doubt.
Oh, yeah.
They want to go ahead and prevent them from faking it. And they have to once again put the guards in there. So that's proof again that right in front of the guards.
Yes. Amen. All right. There's no questions. Any questions? Let's take a look at the next part then. The resurrection at dawn. And we're going to find this in all four of the Gospels. First question we ask ourselves, okay, when does this event occur? Matthew says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Now, we're going to address that this morning in our morning message because we're going to talk about how we no longer worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the first day of the week, all right? And you see what's going on. Mark says, and when the Sabbath was passed, and then he goes on, and very early in the morning, first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So you see, when they arrive at the tomb, the sun is just coming up. Luke says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. John says, the first day of the week, early, when it was yet dark, it came unto the sepulcher. So we see, obviously, when they started out to head towards the sepulcher, it was what? It was still dark. When they arrive, the sun is rising. All right? What day did this occur? It occurred on Sunday. First day of the week, Sunday. Who came to the Jesus tomb? Well, we got some thoughts here. Matthew says, okay, it came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Mark mentions, okay, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother, oh, we get this added thought, James and Salome. Now, Luke just simply says they, so it's plural, came unto the sepulcher. And John just simply mentions Mary Magdalene. Now, what does this tell us about the character of these women? Knowing that it was dark when they left, light when they arrived, what else? I mean, we see them coming with their spices. What does this tell us about their character?
Submitted and committed.
All right, that's pretty good. Yeah. Somebody else? Oh, okay. Yeah, because they're up early. I mean, it's still dark. You're right. Boy, and you see something like that, and you see the character of these women, or women, they're ready to... It's like the Proverbs, 31, virtuous woman, man. She rises before light and, you know, prepares everything. So we see that, they are very virtuous women. All right. Take a look at your next sheet. What did the women bring with them and why did they bring it with them? Well, Mark says, hey, you know, they brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Luke, bring the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. So what does this say positively about these women? And what does it say negatively about these women? What does it say positive about them? All right. Good intentions about that. But what's it say negative? Right, they didn't believe. Yes. So there's still this whole element, unbelief. Well, you know, they've already, so Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, thanks, put some spices on them, but Form and I read about this, is that they would do it again to even add the spices, more spices to deaden the smell. So I guess it's not like what you and I think about embalming, but, you know, just cologne, if you will. All right, now, what did they ask one another as they were coming? And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Now I ask you the question, well, how did they know a big stone needed to be moved? Yes, Mark tells us they'd seen it. They stood far away, but they saw what was happening. They saw, you know, the energy that took the guards to put that stone in place and then to seal it. They'd seen that, so that's what they're asking themselves. Who's going to move this stone? So it had been a pretty large stone. But wait a minute. What event had occurred? Matthew tells us, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Wow, maybe the earthquake moved the stone, huh? Now, who appeared at the tomb to roll back the stone? Matthew tells us, "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." So it wasn't the earthquake. It was the angel that moved the stone. Why the earthquake then, people? Wake up the guards? Okay, it's certainly going to affect the guards and their response. But, you know, just indicator that God's finger was in this, right? God's finger was in this. And what did the angel look like? Well, now we're told here a little bit about his countenance. Matthew says, his countenance was like lightning, bright, huh? His raiment, white as snow. So, I mean, he's got a very light countenance. He's dressed in white. That even makes him, you know, even a more light, if you will. Now, how did the guards respond to the angel? Well, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and it became as dead men. What do you think happened to them? Frozen fear. Okay. Somebody else, take a shot at it. Huh? Fainted, yeah, that's the thing I thought. Probably, you know, in fear, they just flat out fainted. It says they became as dead men. They weren't dead. It came as dead men. So they're, you know, passed out, mobilized, if you will, by the not only probably the earthquake itself, but then the sight of this angel and what the angel did. Now, this has all occurred, and along comes the women. What did the women see, and how did they respond? It says, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Right, that's what they saw. Now, entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. Overwhelming distress is that a frightened word. I mean, they were just overwhelmed with distress. Luke 24. Watch these verses. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Okay. They entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord. Now, that's something added with Luke. It wasn't in Mark. They didn't find the Lord's body. But what did they see? And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now we find out that there's not only one angel, but there were now what? There were two. Now, obviously, probably one was the spokesperson other than the other, but also we know that the reason for two, you had to have two witnesses. And the law said you had to have two witnesses to verify anything. So we got two witnesses here. But Luke includes the aspect that there were two of them in shining garments. So no doubt they were two angels. And we see, and as they were afraid, they bowed down, the ladies bowed down their faces to the earth. So we see what's going on here, all right? And not only, but now one thing about it, they don't become as dead men, do they? They don't faint. Now, maybe they were close to fainting, but God kept them from fainting. John 20, part C. And they seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And I mentioned, we've already talked about, was there one angel, two? Well, there was two. And I mentioned Deuteronomy 17. That's where you have, you need two witnesses or more to everything. So perhaps that's the reason for the two. Mentioning of just one, probably he was the one that was a spokesperson or whatever, and he will speak here to him in just a moment. How did the angel respond to the women? Here we go. We saw how the women responded to the angels. And the angel, now Matthew keeps it singular, and the angel, and you got to remember, now Matthew, he addresses a different clientele than we see it with Luke. And so he emphasizes the spokesperson. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's the spokesperson, Mark says. And he saith unto them, oh, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. And Luke, here's what he says. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? So now we see the angel and angels responding to the women. Page 5. What does the angel tell the women had happened to Jesus? He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Ooh, that last phrase was probably a little what? At the women. Yeah, a little convicting, a little jab, wasn't it? He's not here, as he said. You're looking for him. Well, he told you he's going to be raised. All right. Mark simply says, he is risen, he's not here. And Luke does the same thing. He's not here, but is risen. So Matthew is the only one adds that little phrase, as he said. What did the angel remind the women Jesus had said? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be deceived into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. That's what Luke reminded them of. And notice, only Luke. What did the women remember, according to Luke? Oh, and they remembered his words. Now, those words, it could have been any one of these references. Matthew 16, 21, Matthew 17, 23. I'm just giving you some references out of Matthew. Matthew 20, 19. These are three references where Jesus was speaking to the fact that he was going to be raised the third day. What does the angel tell the women to do? He says, okay, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, Mark, he says it like this. Behold, a place where they laid him. Come see where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Very, very similar. And there he shall see him as he said unto you. And then we read, okay, what did the women do? They went out quickly and they fled from the sepulcher. For they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything of any man, for they were afraid. In other words, they're going to make a beeline. And this is where we end this aspect for today. But now watch. As you look at the questions, all right, what do these verses teach us about our Lord? Well, we talked about, and let me just go back over the questions and see if you can fill in one of these things. We talked about when does this event occur, all right? We talked about that. I don't know if there's not much about that except we see the resurrection now occurring on the first day of the week. We see who came to Jesus or came to the tomb. There was Mary, Magdalene, and Mary, and so forth. We could maybe come up, what do these verses teach us about mankind? We see some caring, consideration by these ladies, and some dedication, loyalty of these ladies. We could all speak of that. We asked the question, when did the women bring, what did they bring with them? Why did they bring it with them? Well, that's all the aspect of the spices and so forth. Again, what we just said. As far as asking what they asked one another about the stone, I don't know what you might want to say about that. I mean, you could see that recognizing that they knew their own frailty and they knew they were going to need help. Maybe it was an aspect of faith, you know, praying. Well, we're not going to be able to move that stone. You know, how are we going to do this? Were they confident? Was it a statement of confidence or was it a statement of not so much confidence? What event had occurred? Earthquake. Well, we recognize that who's behind all the earthquakes? God, so we can see his finger here in the aspect of an earthquake. How did stone get rolled back? Well, it got rolled back by the angel. And we see their countenance and what they were. The angels are there to perform the Lord's bidding. We know that's part of the angelic force is doing the Lord's bidding. How about the guards responding to the angel? What might that say about mankind? Mankind have a spirit of what? Fear. And I think we ought to probably fear a situation like that. Most of us have been very fearful too. Whether we'd have passed out, I don't know that, but we'd have been very frightened for sure. We see even the women respond with fear. All right? So, you know, that's going to be a natural phenomena for any and all of us. How did the angel respond to the women? What do we learn about God and his angelic beings? What did they say? They said, fear what? Fear not. Be not affrighted. So we know that the Bible tells us that we all got ministering angels. And definitely one of the aspects of ministry of the angels, because every time you see Gabriel coming, what is he, you know, what's he saying? Whether it was to Zacharias or whether it was to Mary, he told him what? Fear not. So we see the ministry of angels is that at least to comfort us. And so we learn a little bit about that. Let's see, what else? What did the... Well, and we see the declaration. We said, what did the angel tell the woman had happened? Well, they declared he's risen. And, of course, Matthew's got the most important aspect, as he said. Then we see the angel remind the women that what Jesus had said. That's good. We need to be reminded of what Christ has said to us, told us, and be purposing it. One of the things, how might these verses change our behavior, is the aspect that as we look at it, that we would be purposing that we would read and believe the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, that'd probably be one of the most important things we could take away from this this whole passage. And we also see that the angel tells the women what they do. And this is kind of interesting, because basically what the angels tell the women to do is go and tell what? Go and tell others what's happened. And one of our primary ministries, as having been wonderfully and gloriously born again through faith in Christ, our primary ministry is to go and tell others that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and what's so important is that third part, and he rose from the grave, because therein lies our hope of resurrection. The fact that he was raised, we too shall be raised. So, you know, how might this change your behavior? Well, you look and say, well, listen, I see what the angels command the women to do. Go and tell what had occurred. And likewise, we should go and tell. And we see, finally, of course, the women, they went quickly and they fled from the sepulcher. And they let nothing hinder them from going and telling the message that the angels had told them to tell. All right, somebody, anybody with another thought on what we looked at here today? Anything strike you as any more comments that you mused over this day?
Trying to remember the verse, blessed are those who see and believe, but more blessed are those who haven't seen and believe.
Yeah, that was when, that's yet to come.
Okay.
Because they're going to, the disciples have said, well, you know, we saw him. And Thomas says, come on, I got to put my finger in his side, you know. And, of course, when he comes, he says, that's what the rebuke is to Thomas, though, that very thing. But so we'll see that in the days to come. Anybody else? Okay, very well, very well. Then we went through it a lot faster than I thought. So, well, let's just thank the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks and praise that in fact you raised our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the grave. Lord, we thank you for ministering angels. And Lord, we thank you that even as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has been raised from the grave, we too, who by faith believe on Jesus Christ, have the blessed assurance that one day we too shall be raised with him in newness of life. Thank you for the precious promises of your book. And help us, I pray, to not only read them, but Lord, we would read them believing them as evidence by our responses to them. We thank you now and praise you for this day. Ask that you'll bless the morning worship service. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.